El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth the crispest of unpopular opinions, and then I would come on the show to defend those opinions. But now, mind your own business. Joining me today, he's the co-host of this podcast. He's also the co-host of Tom and Jeff Watch Batman. He hosts Jeff Has Cool Friends. You know all these things. All right, why I have to do this all the time? Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff May. Also joining me. Well, for one thing, it's her birthday today as we record this, not as you're listening to it. She's also a fantastic comedian who can also teach you how to do karate via Zoom. Ladies and gentlemen, Anna Valenzuela. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Jeff, don't.
What?
Don't be mocking me.
You're moving your mouth when I'm talking, pretending you're saying the cool shit that I'm saying.
No,
when you
I'm
just
not.
Say
I'm
all the
talking,
lame shit.
I'm talking when it is my turn to talk, and that's when I move my mouth, you insufferable son of a bitch. Adam, why are you mocking me when I talk?
I'm not.
Also, when you do that face, you look just like Beaker from the Muppets.
Good. I was trying to look like Beaker from the Muppets. Muppets? Nope. Muppets is what they're called.
The Moffets.
Yeah. I did know a Moffet in South Dakota. What a creep that guy was. Hey, Anna Valenzuela's here too, and it's her birthday. I mean, not when you're listening to this, but as we record this.
Yes. It's my birthday on a solar eclipse.
Ooh.
In Gemini season in Mercury retrograde. So if you're a hippie bitch, you just came.
I was like, also, one of those things matters. And that is your birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Also, I just want to say I love your dynamic. It always makes me feel like yelling, mommy, daddy, please don't fight. And I don't know who's mommy and I don't know who's daddy in this dynamic, but
both.
It's very sweet.
Both. And we will fight. That's yeah, you haven't been on in a while. We end each episode. One of us shows up at the other's place and we jujitsu it out.
Yeah. It used to be that he would do karate and I would do kung fu and we'd see what would happen. But eventually we both got so good at Brazilian jiu-jitsu that we just did that.
Yeah. 90s UFC style, baby.
Yeah, that's our story arc.
I wish I could do jiu-jitsu. It looks like fun, but the ringworm and the cauliflower ear look upsetting.
I'm sure it
seems to me that every time Anna brings up, like, I wish I could do a sport, you follow up with, but my physician told me I'd die.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't say that this time.
I know. I was surprised.
But yes, my physician told me I'd be in a wheelchair. Yet I do things I shouldn't do.
So speaking of jiu-jitsu, what a smooth transition this is going to be. Oh, man, I'm looking forward to turning the corner already. I used to host a podcast called What in the World, and I don't anymore. And What in the World was all about international news, international events, things of the like. We do episodes of this podcast all the time where we do local news roundups. Last week's episode was one of those. And this is a similar thing because I miss talking about all the international stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to do a whole other podcast over it anymore. I'm not made of free time.
I don't have that energy.
Oh, gross. So we're going to every once in a while do an international news roundup episode of Unpops. And today is the first one.
Ooh,
so congratulations, Anna, for being a part of that.
Yeah.
It's the flagship episode. If I had a bottle of sparkling apple cider, I would smash it for us.
That would be nice.
She's like on my head, like I'm a Browns fan.
Yes. I love it. Yeah, I love in international news. I feel like we don't focus enough on, like, I heard the other day that from watching a clip of drag queens talking to each other on YouTube that COVID is popping off in Canada and they ran out of vaccine. And I was like, well, yeah. There's no one talking about this in the U.S. I just found that out from drag queens gossiping. No.
I would like to add that we don't talk a lot about international news because, and back me up on this, it's not as important.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I wanted to know about that. Like, it's because it's America for Americans.
As Americans, obviously, American news is what matters, but
I don't have a Belarus flag waving on the back of my pickup truck when I drive everywhere.
I hope not.
You could. I live on the east side, and during the election, watching people with Trump flags and Armenian flags fly, like, in little Trump parades around our neighborhood was wild.
Yeah, which flag? Yeah. Make sure you burn the right flag.
I was like, what's happening? I acknowledge your genocide, but also, please don't fly the Trump flag. He's not going to save you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why they like Trump, because he did call that a genocide at one point. So they were like, fine. We love Trump now.
Yeah, that's just the ADD narcissism, like, you know, spray and pray of words that he would do every time.
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably didn't mean to call it that. just let it sprawl out there.
Yeah, one of the things about just staying on top of international news is it's also a really good way to keep up with American politics. Because one thing we know about most media outlets in this country is that no matter how much they claim to the contrary, they aren't fair. Like, there is no... I don't think there is a news outlet that is truly fair to both sides, like not just Trump, like any administration. There's left-leaning and right-leaning
mm-hmm. Yeah, what would the closest
news
be?
Outlets.
Like Al Jazeera?
Well, yeah, but Al Jazeera, even then, like, you're talking Al Jazeera America, but that's an overseas outlet. And that's the thing. You want to read someone who's covering U.S. politics who thinks both sides are stupid.
Well,
like,
what
BBC
that's
does
what
the same
you
too.
Want.
High Country News, like the...
I don't know. What is that?
It's High Times News.
Yeah,
no,
High Times. Hardtimes.net. No, that's
no.
A satire site about punk music and things. Heavy metal.
No. It's a news site that deals primarily with, like, Colorado area, that kind of stuff.
But well, what you'll...
They're pretty good report. They're independent.
What you'll find with a lot of those is, yeah, they're independent, but they're a lot of times started by... Because there's one company, Pete Buttigieg's wife is connected to it. Or no, not
Pete,
wife. He's gay.
Oh, wait. I was like, what just happened here?
Yeah, who is it? It's someone... Someone connected to Pete Buttigieg. Who fucking cares?
What?
It's probably the CIA. If it's Pete Buttigieg, it's Pete Buttigieg's fucking cover wife for when he goes into situations where the CIA needs to topple a government. But
I need to change my Twitter handle to Pete Buttigieg's wife.
You should.
CIA wife. Spy wife.
Spy wife.
Yeah. I don't know. There's no outlets in the United States that I feel like you can super duper trust. Like, I feel like you could trust Newsweek more than you can trust the New York Times, because they're the ones breaking stories about the 60,000 strong undercover team of operatives that the Pentagon has put together over the years to spy on us. Did you hear about that in the New York Times? No, you didn't. And there's a reason for that. And it's because they're controlled by the same rich people that control this country.
What about Yahoo News? I feel like
Yahoo News broke the Postal Inspector Service story.
I feel like they're the Omar of if the whole country was The Wire, they're the Omar. Like, they just come in, they're just like, we're just trying to survive. Pew, pew, pew.
Well, I mean, they're also breaking actual news as opposed to breaking the news that the people who control them want them to break. And I don't fucking care. That's what happens in this country with the respected outlets. Like, New York Times is never going to break Watergate again.
Because of their corporate overlords.
Yes. We teamed up with corporate America in the 80s, and that is who governs us now. And they control our media outlets.
I'm so glad Ronald Reagan's last years were awful.
Yeah.
It's such a...
I've never been happier that a president died than Ronald Reagan. I was like, fuck, yes, finally.
But that was terrible. Like, that's very important to me that he had a very, very bad finish to his life.
Yeah, he earned it. He earned it.
Yes.
I remember my parents, like, I remember the tension of those years, and mostly because they were very unhappy on an interpersonal level. But I remember when Reagan was, like, out. I remember the sigh of relief, and then Bush being out, Bush Senior being out, and Clinton coming in. Not to say that Clinton was the savior, obviously huge issues, but the sigh of relief that my little, like, half brown, half white family had out in the middle of nowhere with all them rednecks, like, just like, oh, thank
yeah,
God.
Reagan was a piece of shit. So anyway, we're talking about international news. I don't know how we got so hung up talking about America. It's fine.
Hard not to.
Because we're number one, baby.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we're the messy bitches of the world. We're like the auntie at the barbecue that can't stop talking shit and getting into everybody's business.
I think you mean greatest country in the world.
Yeah.
Well, that too. I mean, she's also a bad terrorist. Bitch.
Yeah. Did you check your American exceptionalism at the door? Because you weren't supposed to. You were supposed to wear it to this podcast. Hey, let's talk about Belarus. I'd be surprised if people haven't at least heard some of this story, because it's one of the craziest things that's happened in recent memory. A Belarusian journalist named Roman Protasevich and his girlfriend, a Russian student named Sofia Sapega, were arrested in Minsk, Belarus, when the plane they were flying in from Greece to Lithuania was diverted off course into Belarus on May 23rd, 2021. Protasevich is a former editor of opposition media company Nexta and had been living in Lithuania in exile. Air traffic controllers had reportedly told the pilot, "You have a bomb on board, and it can be activated over Vilnius," which is in Lithuania. Later, Belarus claimed there had been an emailed bomb threat from Hamas, but Hamas denied this, and Proton Mail confirmed that the email had been sent 24 minutes after the plane had been diverted.
Hamas was like, "Check your receipts, bitch."
Yeah. Like, why us? Come on, yeah. Right now? Yeah. We don't have enough to worry about?
Well, that's...
I do have to tell you, while Israel was popping off, me and my roommate had to have a sit down as to our views on Hamas. And it turns out that we both had a very different view than what the news was reporting, and we high-fived at how cool we are.
That does sound like a cool household, I'm not going to lie.
We're nerds.
That sounds like lots and lots of fun.
House meeting. How do you feel about Hamas?
So this plane, it was diverted to Minsk, even though Vilnius was closer. And the plane, after landing, was escorted to the airport by a military jet. And basically, Belarus, their TV, which is state-owned media, made it sound like they were not ordered to. Like the plane was given the option to divert to wherever you want. And the crew asked to go to Minsk.
Hey, let's go to Minsk.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been in a while. Minsk.
You know, they have that Froyo shop. Mm-hmm. And we've got a, you know, you can get a cronut Froyo sandwich.
Yeah,
and...
Minsk chocolate chip. Yeah. Oh.
We did it.
Ooh, the layup. Beautiful.
So opposition figure Pavel Latushko said Belarus had threatened to shoot the plane down. And opposition leader Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, who is currently exiled, said that she had been on the same Ryanair flight the previous week. And so basically, the leader of Belarus wanted to get this opposition figure and arrest him. And the way he did that was basically a state-sanctioned hijacking of a commercial flight.
Duh.
That is quite a bold move.
Well, here's the thing is, anything involving the former Soviet bloc, there's going to be a lot of dice being rolled as to, like, what's actually happening. And I know that makes it sound, like, overly simplistic, but the splintering of the Soviet bloc mm-hmm. was, in the American jingoistic thing, we're like, hey, great. But in reality, it was fucking devastating to a lot of people, and a lot of factions started rising up negatively. And it's actually like when you see the cycle and you look at how like Putin came in, for example, it's like, well, he's old world. He's old Soviet. And Belarus kind of held on to that for a while, right? Like they're pretty...
Belarus is the only European country with an actual dictator in power. Yeah. Alexander Lukashenko, he is called Europe's last dictator. He's been in power for, I think, 30 years now.
He's the, like, MMA dictator, right? Who had everybody look for his cat when it disappeared?
No, I think that was the guy from Georgia, I want to say. Or...
Yeah, I don't think that was him. Lukashenko, Belarus is a tech hub now. Like, they have blazing fast internet and things of the like. And the reason for that is because at one point someone made an app where you could put Lukashenko's head on anyone's body and make it talk. And Lukashenko fucking loved it and was like, man, more internet, more of that.
Lukashenko has a very, like, if Powers Booth and Hitler merged to form one person, that's the look you get.
Yeah, he's like, if Stalin just, like, aged.
Yeah, what if Fred the Dunkin' Donuts guy was a dictator?
Oh, man, he looks like a guy who goes to a strip club on a Tuesday afternoon.
You don't understand. She loves me.
Oh,
we are going to run away together.
Yeah, speaking of the Soviet bloc, I was really surprised to see the KGB involved in this, because the KGB isn't even, like, now Russia's intelligence agency is the FSB. So I was surprised they're even still active. But I mean, were deeply involved in this, as it turns out.
Here's the thing. KGB is literally never going to disappear. They have been around since Ivan the Fourth, since they were the Oprichniki, and they have always changed names, whether it was shifting to the NKVD and then to the KGB. Like, they will always exist. Whether they have the same name, doesn't matter.
Well, that makes me feel better. Honestly.
You know what their patch used to be? Like, their, like, emblem? A broom. And it was the most terrifying thing in the world.
Yeesh.
Because they were sweeping out corruption within the country, yeah?
Yeah, I don't like that
really,
at all.
A really good documentary that catches that whole vibe, even though it's extremely left-leaning. I mean, take that thing with a grain of salt. Agents of Chaos on HBO gives you, like, they show you the different Russian agencies that were involved in, like, the hack of America's, you know, everything's. And they show a lot of the logos, and it's like the bat symbol. It's like all their logo, like their whole thing, we call them bear on our end, like cute names, but they have like terrifying imagery, like real comic book villains.
Well, do they call themselves Agents of Chaos? Because that's literally something that the Joker calls himself in The Dark Knight.
I don't think they call themselves that, but they do use a lot of Batman imagery in their, like, branding.
It's anybody who likes Batman is bad. And yeah. I think we can all agree that. Anyway, yes. Check out Tom and Jeff Want Batman.
Yeah, the thing about Agents of Chaos, that's what Russia is. That's kind of Russia's foreign policy. Like, they don't have the money to go to war at all the places they would like to go to war. So they just exploit divisions where they can exploit divisions and try to break down their enemies that way.
That Belarus story, by the way, sounds like the plot of any anime. Like, it's crazy.
Stop
it's like,
trying to make everything anime.
Everything's
Anna.
Anime. Yeah. Everything.
Oh my god! If we got married, you'd be anime.
Oh, anime Jeff, Valenzuela.
Did you just propose to me on my birthday? I think I legally have to say yes.
You do. Sorry.
I think you're legally married now. Because
we would kill each other. By the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But in 100%. A cool anime way.
We would. Two weirdly buff ex-athletes killing each other. Just strangle, like, murder-suicide, mutual murder-suicide.
Two people throwing their bad knees into each other, violently.
So the day after this incident happened, a video shows up where this journalist, Protasevich, was appearing to confess to a bunch of crimes against the state. And of course, people are concerned he was coerced into that. His girlfriend is also being held in a Minsk jail. Her mother reports the last word that she managed to send her on WhatsApp before she was taken into custody was just, "Mummy." What if she was talking about the Tom Cruise movie?
I was thinking that, yeah, she's going to be like, "They're taking me to Egypt."
Yeah, that's only way she could think to tell her.
That's such a
mummy. Like, you didn't even go pyramids? Come on.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. I did hear about this on NPR in American News. So, you know, to get back to our conversation.
Yeah, no.
But it was very brief. It was like, and then it was like, we're going to get back to talking about Israel because we're so obsessed with talking about Israel. And then
yeah,
we're going to get back.
That, yeah. I said that at the beginning of the podcast also. Like, this is one that I'd be surprised if at least some people haven't.
Yeah,
because it was definitely covered. There's going to be a few stories we talk about that have been mentioned, but they're just kind of glossed over.
Yeah, because she's
so wild.
She also confessed to, like, was it like editing something that, like, docked
Telegram channel that was associated with the outlet this guy worked for. And this guy's facing 15 years in prison, and he has also been placed on a KGB terrorist list, which could bring him the death penalty. When they landed, he told one of the passengers that a death penalty is waiting for him there.
It's a badass thing to say to somebody next to you on a plane.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to die. Bud. I'm going to die as we land here.
Hello. May I have your peanuts? I'm going to die. Beneful cookie? Thank you.
Are you going to eat that stroop waffle?
Yes.
It's very nice to have on flight. Mm.
Here's where stories like this get dicey. And this is the thing American outlets always leave out. What the pro-Lukashenko press has been saying about this guy is that he is a far-right extremist. And they claim he was a mercenary fighter in the national group Azov in eastern Ukraine in 2015. And his claim is that, well, I was just embedded as a journalist. And either way, the thing about Azov, they fought against pro-Russian separatist forces in Ukraine, and they are the source of a lot of controversy, particularly for the neo-Nazi strain that runs through some of its members. And that's an important detail to me because it's one that gets left out of stories like this all the time. Because we tend to think, oh, enemy of my enemy, that's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're talking someone like Alexei Navalny, who American media outlets cannot stop propping up as the last great hope for Russia, that guy is a Nazi. He is a legitimate, confirmed Nazi. You can go on YouTube and see videos of him comparing immigrants to cockroaches. In one of the videos, they dress someone up as a cockroach, and he shoots them after talking about how immigrants are cockroaches. And the American media cannot stop telling you that this guy, a lot of Russians have their hope pinned on a fucking Nazi? Like, we're rooting for a Nazi to take over Russia? What?
To be fair, a lot of Americans were also rooting for a Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Why do we...
The reason America would want a Nazi to take over Russia is because that's what we've wanted since the end of World War II when we teamed up with the fucking Nazis.
I think nowadays people view, I mean, let's be honest, the internet specifically views everything in a very binary way.
Yeah.
You're either a good person or a bad person, and there is no gray. There's no room for that. You said something awful 10 years ago, you're done. There's like a lot of very extreme beliefs in there. So if you're against a corrupt government, you're the good guy because the government is bad, so you must be good. When in reality, it's more of like a Godzilla versus Kong thing. And it'd be like, I feel like we'd be better off with neither of these things.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you look into Russian elections, at least in the last couple presidential elections, Putin was the most moderate by far in terms of dealing with the West. Like, we're so hungry for him to get out of power, but there's not much better waiting behind him. It's just going to get worse. Yeah. But you never hear about shit like that. So, yeah, I'm not saying this guy is a Nazi. And even if he is, you don't hijack a plane over airspace that is not yours to take him into custody. That's fucking wild. That
Maybe
is one of the
don't.
Most audacious things that has happened recently. That's crazy.
Or like an episode of The West Wing. That's a little bit what it feels like, where it's like magic diplomacy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Something really wild.
Yeah, like Belarus is like really big on anti-dissidents. They really have been like cracking down on, I mean, like you said, it's a dictatorship.
Yeah.
And I think we do take for granted that freedom of speech, freedom of the press that we have out here. And we sort of project that like other countries are like this. It's not
well, I can't remember who, where I heard this, but I think a dictator, or it was like maybe a something in college, I don't know. But like, the thing about dictatorship is you have to hold the grip as tight as you can, because if you loosen it in any way, it will just unravel because of the style of governance, is that you have to have this death grip on your people at all times. There can be no, that's why it is a dictatorship. There can be no flexibility. There can be no, you know, freedom of press or freedom of anything, because you have to. There's no, people get that little taste of freedom and they just run, they run with it.
Because it's cool.
Freedom is cool.
It is really cool.
No, but I mean, being a dictator would be cool too.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here. That would fucking rule.
I think it would be kind of like stressful. I always talk about like in my magical dictatorship, I would, you know, make college free. You know what I mean? Or do this or do that. And I think at the end of the day, it would be really stressful because I'd make mistakes.
So you'd be a left-leaning dictator.
Yeah,
those
sure.
exist. You'd get away with that.
That's a little...
That would be why America would hate you.
Ready?
Literacy programs. It'd be why they killed me. Yeah.
Anna, sure. Venezuela.
Whoa!
What are you, every comedy booker, flyer
actually,
maker, and host of show?
I'm using an educated and informed reference, not just some shitty racist mistake.
I don't even correct it anymore. I'm just like, yep, that's my name.
And well, if your last name was Venezuela, people would just call you Anna Valenzuela.
Exactly.
It's change your name legally.
Yeah. Ooh.
Change it to both. Anna Valenzuela Venezuela. That's actually a pretty cool name.
That's it. Yeah, that's really fun. That's
I like it.
Yeah. That's like
change your life. for the bit.
If they bring back the Latin Kings of Comedy tour, that means I'm like headlining.
That's was there a Latin Kings of Comedy tour?
There was.
There was an Everything Comedy tour.
That is a gang name.
It sure is.
Did everyone wear yellow and black?
I hope so.
But it was because they were all Pittsburgh Steelers as well.
Everyone's a bee.
So another thing that happened in Belarus recently that should give you an idea of what the situation is like inside their borders. An activist named Stepan Latipov was sent to trial in Minsk. He shouted to his father from the cage he was locked in the courtroom, which is standard practice in courtrooms in the former Soviet Union. And he'd been told his family and neighbors would be persecuted if he didn't plead guilty, and that he'd been held for the last 7 weeks in a punishment cell. Then he pulled out an unidentified sharp object, a USO, something that looked like a pen, and stabbed himself in the goddamn throat.
Did he die?
He did not. He injured himself badly enough that he had to be placed into an induced coma.
What in
that
the
is,
hell?
That's not going to be a fun wake-up.
No. Yeah.
Have you seen the show Hannibal? That sounds like Hannibal.
Yeah,
in
that's
IRL. That is...
Including the cage.
It'd be funny if as soon as he wakes up, like, they ask him to talk and he can't. And he's like, hand me a pen. I'll write it.
And
then he stabs himself again.
Jesus. Okay, questions. So, what is a punishment cell? What does that mean? Because obviously, it fucked his shit up.
Context clues, bro.
Yeah.
It's probably a cell that sucks extra.
It's like, yeah. That could be what they call solitary confinement over there, because that's a punishment cell for sure.
Or it could be a sub. Could be a sub-dom situation.
Mm-hmm.
He's like but he's also sad.
They are putting me in very sexy punishment cell. I am so erect, can't stop coming.
Sadly, they make me pay OnlyFans for this.
So yeah, Belarus is fucking crazy. Let's talk about another place that's pretty wild right now. I swear these stories, at least by the end, some of them get kind of cute.
This one is not cute.
This is not cute. There is essentially a civil war happening in Ethiopia, but it's not really even that. It's just the government targeting one group of people.
Yeah, this happens in Africa a lot.
Yeah.
This is something that happens in Africa and also Eastern Europe quite often, which is sort of like weird genetic cleansing. Like it's like such a strange choice. It's oftentimes tribal.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that obviously most famously with the Hutus and the Tutsis in Rwanda. But man, I mean, Africa got fucking wrecked due to colonization.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Come on. You're blaming the white man?
Oh, not for the actions of people, but you know.
In the 150 years I've been to community college, when I was an anthropology major for a minute, I had to actually take a whole class on how colonization fucked up Africa.
It did.
Hard.
I will also add, though, that when people's immediate reaction to like these kind of atrocities is to blame colonization, it's like, well, hey, man, other people actually are doing these things, too. So,
we say colonization, it's like when I was in the Philippines a couple years ago, like colonization started it. And then...
You found Manuel Noriega.
He's in the Philippines?
He's in the Philippines. Yeah.
What?
This episode brought to you by Noriega's Super Thug, which I have on vinyl single.
Oh, wow.
You going to sell that on eBay for a lot of money?
No, I don't think I could get that.
No, probably not.
What if you signed it?
I'd be like, I have this record. And they'd be like, What?
Why?
What? Anyway, you were in the Philippines with Manuel Noriega.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was with Manuel Noriega. And it was, the thing I noticed is that obviously colonization fucked it up. That started the chain. But then capitalism, which is, in my opinion, extension of colonization, just re-fucked it over and over and over and over again. And not to say that like the Philippines is rough there too. It's beautiful and the people are wonderful and there were so many great things about it. I don't want to speak.
Don't be racist.
I don't think racist is the word. I think it's ethnocentric, but there is like,
don't be that, please.
Yeah. You can see the effects of capitalism and the effects of classism on a global scale there.
I just like to know that I can get a Coca-Cola in Manila. Thank you.
You sure can. You sure can.
Can I hit a McDonald's?
Yeah, you can hit a McDonald's. You might have to go to the Jollibee, which is might be the real... Yeah, or
you
the
mean
7-11.
The one like 8 blocks from my apartment?
Yeah. Which Jollibee?
Yeah, there is a Jollibee in
There
Eagle
are Jollibees
Rock.
In L.A.
I know. That was the funniest thing. When we got off, I was like, and the first thing we saw was a Jollibee and a 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven is the true king of Asia. But
Jollibee always reminds me of like, oh, this is what people in the Philippines think Americans eat like. Because they're like, would you like a ham sandwich and a spaghetti basket?
I gave up on a joke about flying Philippine Air. One of the menu options was a Salisbury steak omelet.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah,
that
actually
sounds
all right.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You kidding me?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, with the gravy?
Oh, my God. Or even, and bear with me here, because I know that you might not like this, the little ketchup on there. Little ketchup would actually make that pop real good.
I mean, I like ketchup on eggs, but not on Salisbury steak. Anyway, let's talk about Ethiopia.
Ethiopia. Salisbury steak capital of the world.
Gross.
In early November 2020, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed ordered an offensive in the northern Ethiopian Tigray region. Thousands have been killed, millions have been displaced, and there have been charges of ethnic cleansing and other atrocities. Ahmed scheduled elections in the middle of all this. Because,
like you
of
do,
course you
got to legitimize your war crimes. You got to marry your war crimes.
Yeah. And there were obviously concerns that, hey, you know, the whole region of the country that you oppose, they're not going to be able to vote because you're ethnic cleansing them right now. And he was like, yeah, cool. So in May, Ahmed declared his opposition in the Tigray region. And the previous party in charge of the central government, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, a terrorist group, after having stripped it of its status as a legal political party in January. That's a thing you see in foreign politics all the time, is parties just get completely delegitimized.
Yeah, you see that in American politics. Antifa, the way that we were talking about Antifa, when it's like, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Calm down. Like, that's just a loose kind of, that, I have purses more organized than Antifa.
I mean, we labeled the Juggalos a terrorist group, a street gang.
And frankly, the Juggalos, who knew that modern history would smile upon the Juggalos the way it has?
Yeah, magnets, how do those work?
Smiling is an interesting choice of the word.
It's painted on. We're not actually
You know
smiling.
You never show your teeth to a Juggalo, they'll attack.
Yeah, it's just a clown makeup smile.
Should we send the Juggalos to Ethiopia to help stop this ethnic cleansing?
Here's the thing about the guy leading this ethnic cleansing. Nobel Peace Prize in 2019.
Every time
we have one that drone bombed a wedding.
Yeah. We have Obama in Myanmar, the leader that was just deposed there by the military. That people are all heartsick over. She oversaw a genocide that was run by that same military.
So genocide?
It's like, yeah. It's like, so you think they're not going to come for you next? Like, they're not genociding so you can stay in power. They're just going to take you out, too. And it happened. And we're like, no! And I'm like, fuck, I don't care.
You know, every time I come on this podcast, I learn something that makes me so sad for humanity. I'm just always
That's
like,
what we do.
I mean, I knew about the Nobel Peace Prize genocide thing, but I was just like, it's just the reminder of it all is always fascinating.
Yeah. So, yeah, thousands of Tigrayans around Ethiopia, many of them military or police, but also civilians, are being held without charge. The UN, as well as local officials, say that over 5 million people need urgent assistance, with 1 to 2 million people displaced and over 63,000 having fled to Sudan, fucking look into Sudan. That's not a great place to flee
to. Out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, if Sudan is your better fucking option, like, hey, let's get closer to Darfur.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like something you might want to be like, we should probably do something about. I mean, like, because, like, it's
they
not
just
like America
split into
hasn't...
two countries recently.
Yeah, well, and shit's popping off in Burkina Faso right now, too. I was just listening to that yesterday. There's a huge military conflict happening there, too. Like, Africa's been popping off this whole pandemic, and we're just like, yes, cool.
whole entire century.
Yeah. Genocide Girl Summer coming up.
So they're facing another famine in Ethiopia.
Cool. Obviously.
Yeah. What would Ethiopia be without it?
Yeah. When should Jollibee be there? Who among us hasn't known about an Ethiopian famine?
Well, at least we know it's a problem we know how to fix. We just need to get all of the biggest pop stars of the day in one room to record a ballad. And the famine part will be fixed.
On the positive note, Bob Dylan will still look like he doesn't know what's happening at all during the whole system.
I have somewhere We Are the World on vinyl. My dad bought it for me.
Oh, if you take that to any Ethiopian restaurant, you get a free entree.
Oh, fine.
Not for nothing, but like the food in Little Ethiopia fucks.
I don't like Ethiopian food.
It's because you're a racist.
I like, well, yeah. You don't like, I it. Like Ethiopian food because, number one, I can kind of eat that spongy bread. And
that's what I don't like is the spongy bread.
The spongy bread. And it tastes, when I used to drink, I left sake because of the vinegar element of it. I like anything that tastes like salad dressing, but is also hot. And to me, there's like a vinegary element to Ethiopian food. Maybe I'm getting it wrong. I've only had vegan Ethiopian food, too.
It seems like that's an interesting choice.
Well, Ethiopian food is, like, it's a favorite among vegetarians and vegans because a lot of it is vegan-based.
Grain-based, right?
Yeah.
Like bulgur wheat and stuff like that.
There is basically another genocide kicking off in Africa, this one in Ethiopia. And
what can we do? Is there anything we can do? What can we do? Because our country isn't doing anything about any of these conflicts so far. What can we do?
That's the thing. Our country never has. Like, we've projected this image of, we're the world police. We intervene in other people's affairs.
Unless brown people and black people are killing each other and it's more convenient for us to just let
them. No, we don't. Not even that. It's not even that complicated. We just take care of our business interests. That's all we do. And if we don't have any business interests that we need to take care of here, we don't give a fuck if everyone in this country kills each other.
Doesn't Africa mine a lot of the minerals that end up in our cell phones and electronics?
But they've made a bunch of contracts with China, which is also going to fuck them in the future. So we don't mostly have access to any of that. So again, what do we care? This is probably China's fish to fry.
Damn.
And it's going to be good when they do.
It's going to be really tasty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they'll leave the head on.
Yeah. But that's fine.
Then eyes are good luck.
Then you absorb its soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll link to some articles about what's happening in Ethiopia. It's very sad, but it's also very involved. It's another one of those situations where it is kind of like Venezuela in that there's this party in power now that people see as oppressive, even though that's very debatable. And they're like, well, we got to get the opposition party back in power. If you look into that opposition party, they took Venezuela exactly to where they are now. Mm-hmm. When they were in power, there were food shortages, there were riots.
Yeah.
Like, they did everything to the country that we claim Maduro is doing to the country now. And this could be a similar thing, because when the group that's being cleansed now was in charge of the government, they weren't great either. They were just, it's very involved.
It's really convoluted, and I don't think that we can cover it in the next, like, 8 minutes or so that we have in there. But, like, we're talking like phone and internet communications have been cut off. Yeah. Like, there's a lot fucking going on there, and it is terrifying.
Eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind, right? Like, that's,
nope.
I mean, that's,
no,
that's
I basically, disagree.
I mean, you disagree. Well, and I think we all disagreed when we had our own little, like, sad insurrection. It was like, there were moments where it was like, these people need to be punished more. But on the stance of, like, eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind is basically what the government took. They're just, well, and there's
that's
also
a terrible stance to take. You're going to try to insurrection us? Ah, get out of here, you scamps.
Yeah, get out of here.
Next time.
So it's like, how do we have loving boundaries? You know, not to make it psychological, but like, how do we have loving boundaries as countries and say, like, you can't just fucking genocide each other, even though that one tried to genocide, knock it off.
Anna, you can't have loving boundaries with sedition. That's just not what the government can really do. Like, if there is a seditious group of people that are trying to overthrow the government and murder people in power, you can't be like, you know, we got to kill them with kindness.
Right.
You have to be like, you're going to fucking jail, you fucking idiot.
And in my dictatorship, everyone gets shoved into a t-shirt until they get along.
That's just called being a parent.
Yeah, yeah. I want the world to reparent itself appropriately. But what I'm saying is, like, where do you, if you're always escalating to, like, this group hurt us, this group hurt us, this group hurt us, like, where do you draw the line?
Sedition.
Yeah, sedition,
okay.
Is probably.
Yeah.
When you're storming the cap. Like, Lou Perez, who has been on this podcast before, he works at some, like, I don't think completely right-leaning news outlet now, but he does something related to that. And after the Capitol riot, someone tweeted something about police killing innocent people. And he quote tweeted it and said, oh, are you talking about the Capitol Police who killed that Trump supporter yesterday? And it's like, if you're dumb enough to think those two things are related, mm-hmm. I have no problem calling you dumb on my podcast and saying your full name. Because that is one of the stupidest fucking takes I have ever heard in my life.
That woman
was trying to break into the Capitol with a cop pointing a fucking gun at her.
Sure. And I know I've engaged in blatant equivocation. I understand that. I'm just, I agree with you. I 100%
No, you
agree
shoot
with
that
you.
Woman.
Yeah, It's very funny that she got shot, if I can be honest. Like,
congratulations on being first through the door.
Yeah.
There's your prize.
Yeah. I mean, my question is, I'm applying that to the, so you have a situation where one group is killing another group that was killing that group before. Where does it end?
Yeah. Well, no one knows. That's what we're talking about. Like, we're not going to solve the situation.
I'm trying to. It's my birthday. I'm trying to solve world's conflicts today.
So we have like six other stories.
Okay,
to
fine.
Talk about
let's get it rolling. We're fixing problems.
You know how we fix the problem? We don't.
Yeah.
We stay the fuck out of it.
What's tribal?
We just did our job as individuals. Like, we're bringing attention to it.
What if we as a country did like what we did with the Hmong population and just said, like, hey, you want to come live in Minnesota?
We're not going to do that.
But that's what we did.
That's
we did
not
with the Hmong.
I'll do it. Yeah, we also.
Come on out to Minnesota, you guys.
Hey, you want to live in Detroit?
We also used to pay Americans a living wage. We don't do that anymore either. We're different.
Speaking of living.
Anyway.
Good transition.
I tried.
Yeah, but we have to take a break. Hey, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back. Hey, and we're back. Oh, man. This next story is not going to get more upbeat.
No, this is actually like, it's very dark, but at least it's like something that's kind of like a past thing.
And at least it's actually been confirmed, because this is a thing that was rumored to have happened in Canada in the past, which is that there were mass graves full of Indigenous children at these residential schools, which are basically a racist operation.
They got that model from us, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
No.
I think we all worked together on that one.
Yeah.
Well, what's different about Canada is we still give them this huge benefit of the doubt. Like, they're the peaceful, calm America. No, they're not. No, they're not at all. They kill Indigenous people. And like, that's who their police kill instead of Black people. Not that our police won't kill Indigenous people presented with the opportunity.
Of course. It's just that we did it so much that there's so few left.
Yeah.
Well, and have either of y'all done stand-up in Canada?
No, I'm an American.
No, yeah.
I don't speak
the language.
You hear the way folks talk about investments from, like property investments from Asian countries? Like, it's a little like, whoa, that's a little racist. Whoa, that's a little...
Are you trying to tell me that a bunch of people that are, like, coming and stemming from fur trappers living in the fucking woods would end up being racist?
Yeah
I grew up in the woods. I know.
Can I tell you, though, my favorite thing to do in Canada is to go on stage and say, hey, where are all my Latinos at? And nobody says anything, and then they all burst into laughter. That's, like, my favorite way to open a set in Canada. That's terrible.
Sounds about right.
And it's because, you know, you...
It's because it's Canada.
It's Canada. Also, the Spanish didn't colonize up there. And also, they killed a lot of Indigenous people. So even if they were going to get a version.
Yeah, I was like, that wasn't the Indigenous. The Indigenous thing isn't the reason that Mexicans aren't going or that there are no...
You have to have an Indigenous person with a Spanish person to make a Mexican. That's how you make Jeff. Mestizos, you goof.
So let's talk about what happened in this story. This was found on the grounds of a British Columbia residential school that operated from 1890 through the late 70s. Mm-hmm. And there are still some of these operating. I think there's still some in the United States, probably. Yeah. The remains of 215 children were discovered in a mass grave. This was the largest residential school in Canada, operated by the Catholic Church, of course, for most of its existence.
Ooh, colonization.
And in case you're wondering, our new fun party pope that everyone loves has refused to directly apologize on behalf of the Catholic Church.
That seems like a business decision, I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably, but yeah. Fuck their business.
Yeah, I mean,
like, if your business requires not apologizing for mass graves at institutions run by you, your business should burn to the ground.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said. Again, I'm a recovering Catholic, and I have no sort of skin in that game anymore. I think it's all lies and stuff like that. But it is sort of one of those things where it's like, who's working sort of on your behalf? Like, where's that sort of responsibility? Like, where's the cutoff line of that? But when you look at these numbers here, like 1890 through the late 1970s, it's about 90 years ish. So you're looking at more than two kids a year on average, and that's probably not the case, being fucking buried in these mass graves.
Well, this, like, a mass grave, I think, also doesn't really work that way. Like, this was probably 215 kids that died in a very short span of time. Like, there's no guarantee that everyone who died at this school was tossed into a mass grave. Like, there were people who could have been taken to morgues, returned to families. There could be more mass graves on the grounds of this school.
Did they carbon
women? It's well TikTok documented, you know, and also just like well documented that there are women that just disappear off these reservations in the US and Canada. And the question is like, yes, I would like to see the forensic archaeology information on that. I would to see, was there illness? Not to say it was right. These children should not have been displaced from their homes. It should not have been, because they weren't just taken away. Their hair was cut, which is a spiritual thing.
They're indoctrinated.
They're not allowed to speak their language. I mean, the Catholics really perfected cultural erasure, and like, they were attempting to eradicate the culture of these people.
Well, a lot of people don't, I think, realize that that's also one of the definitions of genocide. Yeah. Like, genocide doesn't have to involve murder.
It can be cultural,
Yeah. Sometimes you're just wiping out the entire historical existence of a group of people. Yeah,
I wonder Travis, if this is Ravine, what's up, baby? What's up? You loved Arthur Stadium?
Yeah, there's a school under there. What China is doing to Uyghur Muslims.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I wonder if this is, like you're saying, like a tuberculosis or yellow fever situation where it's like, you know, a bunch of kids all got sick and died at the same time.
I'm willing to bet there's a lot of injury, a lot of accidental injury. Like, you know how in the pandemic they had a rise in what's called non-accidental pediatric injury in our
kids
ERs.
Getting beat?
I'm willing to bet you're going to see a lot of that.
That is one thing that was common here, physical, sexual, and psychological abuse.
And this is a great example of sort of looking at it and being like, well, the Catholics are at it again. Or they were. They were at it again, and they probably
still are
still doing
it.
Something like this somewhere. But it is sort of just another example of the Catholic Church just having a long and storied history of being absolutely terrible to everybody that isn't like them, and then also to a lot of people that are.
And racism, colonialism, like allowing it to happen over.
We get it.
Till the 70s. Till the fucking 70s.
So there was a 2007 National Truth and Reconciliation Commission that found that at least 4,100 children had died at residential schools. These unmarked graves, though, were always just rumors. This is the first one that has actually been found. And so there's a good chance that if they go to these other residential schools with the proper equipment, they're going to find more.
Good. Find them all and give those kids a proper send-off. That culturally is, you know.
Shoot them into space.
Sure. That actually is kind of cool. But like.
Yeah, that would rule.
That's why I
said it. Like do something. They need to have a moment where they honor and have some healing and have some death. You know, death rituals are important to all cultures, to all peoples.
Yes.
And And we're also abuse your kids and don't abuse.
And we're also
don't genocide. Fuck.
Oh. And we're also talking about parents who had their kids taken from them. So it's not like if that kid died, the government was going to go back to that family and be like, hey, your kid died. Like, they just would never see their kid again. Yeah. So a lot of people have no idea what happened to their kids. So they're actually hoping this leads to a bigger investigation that uncovers more of these so they can identify them.
Man, Adam, this...
Oh, man. What a bummer.
Fuck. Adam, fuck.
Well, how about this next story? This I think you can file under the least surprising story on this list.
Yeah, this is a no-shit story right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not going to believe this, America, but for a long, long time, Buckingham Palace banned ethnic minorities from office roles.
What? Shut the fuck up. What?
Come on.
Get
they have
the
a cat on staff,
here.
By the way. They have a mouser. They have a cat on fucking staff that is like, I can't remember his name. I wrote a joke about it for a packet. There
it's
is a cat
name.
On staff. Didn't get that job. There is a fucking cat on staff. I'm just saying there's a cat on staff. But
if that was your joke, I understand why you didn't get the job.
That was not my joke. It wasn't even a good joke. But it was bad.
So, yeah, newly discovered documents about the British royal family revealed that the Queen banned, quote, colored immigrants or foreigners, end quote, from clerical roles in the royal household until at least the late 1960s. But come on.
Well,
we
you know none of us can do file work. None of us can. Yeah. None of us can collate.
We can.
Yeah.
Adam and I
can. Yeah,
I worked at Buckingham Palace in the 60s.
Yeah,
I can't
collate.
I can't be trusted with a reply all. You know, like, I can't. No, I'm kidding.
All the alphabetizing things.
Yeah, Dewey Decimal System. I can't actually physically see it.
I mean, I don't know shit about the Dewey Decimal System. I know you look on the card and then you go to where that number is.
You go up to the librarian and go, help me.
I don't know how they decide that
shit. How do I find a book?
How do I find
me a book?
How do
find
I find
me a fucking book about Paris Hilton?
But there's no like, fuck, there's no, oh God, of course we knew that. Also, didn't we learn that with the Meghan Merkel thing too? They were like,
well, that's
were
the
low key harassing her.
The crown is racist, get out of town.
Yeah, her experience there reminded me of like every job where my boss was like, oh, I see that you straightened your hair today. You look so professional. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the same group that definitely did not murder Princess Diana to stop her from marrying a Muslim man. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was just a pure accident. Yeah. This is,
or
again,
is harboring a pedophile in a palace. So he can't be.
Yeah. Like
taken in.
I think people really underestimate the Queen because she's so old. So it seems like, because she's looked like she was 80 for about 40 years.
And she's
now
the hero of a popular show on Netflix.
Yeah.
We
it's
love
insane
to fetishize the royal
crown,
family.
Yeah.
My dude's family is like obsessed with all things royal. Like all things royal.
A bunch of fucking nerds.
I used to work with a girl like that, and it was fucking exhausting. Yeah.
Are you watching the royal wedding? It's fucking no. I don't
not
like going to any wedding, and I know the people. Why would
there
I watch
not
strangers'
Jeff,
weddings?
I don't like weddings. I don't love
I can't
them
think of a single famous couple that I would watch get married on television. None.
Mariah Carey?
I don't
Carey
care if Kurt Cobain came back from the dead to remarry Courtney Love. I would not fucking watch
what
it.
What if Mariah
so she could
Carey
shoot him
married
in the face
herself?
Nope.
You
don't
love
give a fuck
Mariah Carey.
What about
I do.
What about if Dennis Rodman married his book?
Nope.
What if Dennis Rodman married Mariah Carey?
That I would watch.
Yeah,
yeah
that
you
would.
Would. We all would watch.
Yeah, that I would probably
we'd pop
watch
popcorn. We'd meet somewhere. It'd
So Buckingham Palace also negotiated the royal family some handy little legal exceptions to racial and sexual anti-discrimination laws. Those exceptions are still in place, and that means racial and sexual minorities in the palace's employ have no legal recourse if they believe they have been discriminated against.
Yes, do us a favor, old chap.
Well,
if you wouldn't
go
mind allowing us to continue being racist, we'd quite appreciate it. Oh, yes,
wow.
Of course.
Chip, cheerio.
Of course, of course. By all means, do all the racism in all of your palaces that you wish. Why, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you,
this
prof
impression, deleted scene from the Kingsman movies. I love it. Jeff,
did
you do that really well.
It's like, normally, it's the king be talking like this, bruv.
Bruv.
Or it's me the queen, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you sound like the queen right now.
Two fingers up, mate.
Say
me's
babes
the queen.
Say babes, oh, like South London. Say it like babes.
Babes.
Hey, babes.
Here's the thing, right? It's me's the queen.
and like totally going to be racism. I'm going to do a racism at all points in time, and Parliament is totally going to be down for it, mate.
Jeff, you were really good at white people accents.
That's a great impression of the Queen, and the comments will prove that.
Yeah, I agree. So, The Guardian has been investigating the Queen's use of one of England's plentiful, arcane parliamentary workarounds called Queen's Consent,
mate.
Which allows her to basically secretly influence legislation. And it turned up these documents in the process of that investigation.
Mate, what we've got to do is we've got to make sure that if we make a law, it doesn't hurt me place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meet a queen.
So yeah, England's wild. Like, I'm glad I feel like we've moved past that point where, like, especially during the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky thing, we were like, Europe's so cool and advanced. It's like, they're way ahead of sliding back into fascism than we are.
Yeah, Brexit, I mean, Brexit's still fucking them up. I remember doing
Brexit was their Trump.
Yes, I remember the week that Trump got elected, I was doing a Hollywood tour for a British family, and they were like, we should walk down the Walk of Fame. And I was like, and there's Trump's star. There's a tiny wall glued around it, which was one of my favorite. You should have me and Rivers come on and talk about all the favorite vandalisms of the Trump star. It was great. But they were like, oh, you'll survive. We just got through Brexit. It'll be fine. And I was like,
by no means through Brexit.
What a stupid group of people. And then I remembered they're doing a tour in Hollywood. Of course they're stupid.
Yeah. By me, who just like casually, I love to drive past Chavez Ravine and just like mention what happened. I love to be like, this is real. I'll be like, and also some terrible things happened in this city. Black Dahlia murder. Yeah.
Vacationing in Hollywood is the worst idea anybody's ever had. This is a piss hole.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, let's talk about another story. This one is a little more positive, right?
Okay, let's do it.
More than 100 LGBTQ candidates competed in the most recent Mexican election.
Hi.
That's crazy.
That's great.
Largest, what?
I'm not going to do an accent for this one.
No. Are you sure?
Anna.
Come on.
Should I do it?
Come on, give us your best Mexican LGBTQ accent.
Let's just go for it. I'll just do John Leguizamo and Tu Wong Fu.
Yeah, I'm trying to channel Casa de las Flores.
You don't have to do it. No. Don't do it.
We don't need to do it. We have four more stories. Let's get through this one. This is the largest number of LGBTQ candidates in Mexican history, even includes some transgender candidates, comes as a result of an affirmative action order that set quotas on political parties to include LGBTQ candidates.
That's great.
Fuck yeah.
Because
it is good.
Any historically Catholic area is going to generally be pretty anti-LGBTQ plus. And so to see this happening in Mexico, which does have a famously homophobic history, is fantastic.
But also has a very strong LGBTQ community pride in Mexico. If you remember when all those drag queens got called out mid-pandemic because they were going to, like, Puerto Vallarta for pride events and shit, they were all on boats. Like,
so the largest parties in Mexico just barely met the requirements that these laws put in place, if you can believe that. But minority parties such as Citizen Movement, Progressive Social Networks, and the Democratic Revolution Party exceeded them, registering dozens. Many of the candidates hope to introduce institutional change in favor of LGBTQ rights if they attain office, which it would be very funny if they were like, am I going to do what? No, I mean, I'm in office now. I don't have, I got where I need to be. I'm not going to work on LGBTQ rights. What?
The old Buttigieg.
Don't be weird. Big heel turn at the end.
Do we know when these elections are?
I mean, we could find out.
We could probably, because there's a lot of stuff of, like, what the candidates hope to introduce with institutional change, but, like,
I think a first round of elections already happened, and I know this week. Because I know this, because I've been following an insufferable social media influencer as she's taking her Eat, Pray, Love post-divorce trip through Mexico. And there was a city she went to in Oaxaca on the coast, and she wanted a party, but there was a no drinking policy instituted for 24 hours to encourage voting. And I think that happened on Monday.
They should have booze at the polling location, so it's the only place you can drink.
They dry out the state, at least in Oaxaca, they dry out the city to get people to go vote. You should be able to vote and get a beer afterwards.
Yeah. So it was pretty much, it was like about a week ago that we're seeing all this news come about the candidates. And I would like to see in the future, I think we'll find out more about the success rate of these candidates, because even looking up in the news, I'm not seeing any of those results, which
I feel like other countries take the amount of time it took us to tabulate our votes in this last election cycle. I feel like that's like standard for most countries outside of the U.S.
Not in Iraq. Also, they knew right away.
Also, women have tried this a bunch in Mexico also and haven't made that much headway. So it's probably not going to amount to a whole lot of change, but
it's a step.
Incremental change. Yeah.
Fabulous step.
It is a step. Hey, let's take our final break and then we'll be back. And we're back. Can you believe it? All right. Now let's talk about a really actual fun story. A pack of wild elephants is just tearing shit up in China, and they are the cutest.
This is so satisfaction.
A herd of just 15 little old elephants escaped from a nature reserve in April.
They have a cuddle pile.
They do, yeah. There's a picture we'll link to of them taking little nap-naps, and it's the cutest thing. They, since escaping this nature reserve, have traveled over 500 kilometers, and they're just absolutely wrecking shit along the way. They're smashing barns. They're eating whole fields of corn. They drained a water tank.
These are cool teen elephants.
Yeah. They are on a crime spree, and there's only 15 of them. And I love that China, a country that we associate with being really efficient when it comes to cracking down on dissidents, now they got 15 elephants running amok in their country, and they're like, we don't know. I don't know how. I don't know what we're gonna do.
The optics
of fuck are we gonna do?
The optics of massacring 15 wild animals is not gonna be globally great.
If those elephants were also Muslim, they would have figured it out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's funny is like the way they're behaving. They remind me of Kiefer Sutherland's gang in Stand By Me, just driving around smashing mailboxes and fucking finding dead bodies and shit.
Yeah. What if they're running into town and being like, hey, you hear about Tiananmen Square?
Hey.
Let me tell you about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking elephants, that's what I want.
Yeah, you want to get some little coffee mugs that all look like Winnie the Pooh? You want to do that? Yeah, let's go get some Winnie the Pooh merch.
They are totes fresh.
Yeah. Wildlife authorities say they have no idea why they're doing this. Although degrading elephant habitats across China seem like an obvious factor.
Yeah, because fuck you, that's why.
But this is also the furthest distance elephant migration recorded in Chinese history. You did it. They have caused over $1 million in losses. That's more than $66,500 per elephant. And three of them are only babies.
Little babies, man.
Little baby elephants.
An elephant is a baby.
It's a baby elephant.
It's $66,000 damage in baby and counting.
I'm gonna plug an Instagram everyone should follow. It's called Animals with Human Dicks.
We've talked about this on an episode.
I bought the elephants with human dicks for trunks. Huge print for the man's in my life to go in his new condo his parents bought for him. And he plans to put like it's like the first thing people see.
God, I mean, I'm happy for him, but I hate that sentence that you
just said.
I know,
me too.
So much.
I know, it's because there's no room for either of us, Jeff. There's no room for either of us to live in it.
Fucking eat your man, and not in the sexy way. Just fucking eat the rich.
So, as of last Wednesday, these adorable little vandals were approaching Kunming, a major city populated by 7 million people. And authorities are scrambling to prevent that, because that's going to turn into a whole thing.
The thing is, I don't want the elephants to hurt poor people, which I feel like they're the ones at the most risk for elephant vandalism. But I would like the elephants to like rage through the Capitol and like just murk bad people. You know what I mean? Like that would be
targeted
the cutest
elephants.
Yeah, I want them to be like, that'd be the cutest revolution you've ever seen.
Just a little property crime. That's all I want from these elephants.
Yeah, just like ruining mansion. Like, we need to get these elephants to come over here to Los Angeles and go through, like, rampage through Beverly Hills. Like, how cool would that be?
So, does anyone remember the Cologne Tigress? That's no. When What in the World Was a Podcast? We talked about that a bunch. It was a story I could not stop following. Slightly less fun. There was this one village in India that was getting stalked by this tiger for about 2 years.
Musk in perfume and
That's not why people were getting attacked. Yeah. This tiger just like got a taste for blood in this village and every few months would show up and kill somebody.
Some Heart of Darkness
and,
shit.
Yeah, and they finally lured this tiger out using Calvin Klein cologne because Calvin Klein specifically has some ingredient in it that just drives big cats wild.
That would be a very interesting thing to find out that, like, oh, they've been taking endangered animals' pituitary glands and grinding the shit out of it.
Or it would interesting thing to find out after you cologned up for your safari.
Why are you...
And now you have a tiger lunging at your throat and someone's like, is someone wearing Calvin Klein?
Who are you trying to fuck on safari, Hemingway?
Yeah, fuck in the 90s. You're going to CK1 before you end up on a safari? Who the fuck do you think you are? Like, what are you, an underwear model? Like, what's happening? Yeah, that's
special
weird.
I CK into you and really let people smell me real good while I'm trying to shoot an endangered animal for Facebook posts.
They did shoot this tiger eventually. They tried to tranquilize it, and by then it was too full of human souls to die in such a pedestrian manner.
You just saw faces sticking out of the fur.
Yeah.
She went out like Scarface. She was just...
Yeah. Just those souls are trapped inside that tiger forever.
Just snorted a big pile of fingers.
Hell yeah. You know what? I love it when nature fights back. I love it when nature fights back because it just reminds us that we are such fragile, squishy, like, it's a miracle that we're on top. A miracle.
Yeah.
It's our big, dumb brains, but, like, everything else is real not good.
I mean,
but it's also why we should not be in the ocean because we're not on top. Like, if you're just out swimming in the ocean, you are not top of the food chain.
You have respect. Like, you shuffle out, and sometimes stingray and things slide past your feet, and, like, you touch
I have
things.
The utmost respect for the ocean in that I don't go in it.
I will add that a submarine versus a shark, though, put my money on the sub.
Yeah, but that's machinery and technology. That's not us. Like, if you're just in the ocean by yourself, you're not.
That's why we're on top. I'm not going to beat up that tiger. I'm going to shoot it in the face.
Yeah, I mean, you get what...
Listen, you guys
should Japan cancel the fucking Olympics?
Yes, of course they should. They already blew it with 2020.
Yeah.
Why is this... We're still calling it the 2020 Olympics? I hate that.
Yeah, they should just call it the 2022 Olympics.
Well, the Winter Olympics are happening then in China, which we should boycott.
The
asterisk
on 2020 is very specific. Like, it's obvious it's a big deal. The Olympics are a big deal for a lot of people, but that doesn't mean that other people should die because your window is closing on being a champion sprinter.
Yeah, and the reason we're bringing this up is because a Japanese newspaper called Asahi Shimbun, an official partner of the Tokyo 2020 Summer Olympics, has officially called for the Olympics to be canceled. They cited COVID, public health risks, as well as the risk of putting too much strain on the medical system.
They're not... Okay, so weirdly, through COVID, I've been training a lot of karate over Zoom. And...
Naturally.
Yeah, of course.
Because of the bases in Okinawa, their outbreaks of COVID were horrendous. And they're not in a position to support another horrendous outbreak at this time. So yeah, I agree. They should cancel the game. They should. I know that they want to save face. I know that they want the economic boost. I know that they want, you know, or at least in our case, like in California, what they really want from the Olympic Games is to displace poor people and to pour a bunch of money into infrastructure.
That's all the International Olympic Committee is a gentrification
project
force.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they do. They allow cities to forcibly remove the homeless under the guise of what? Olympics fans don't want to see these people.
We have to make it safe for people who do rowing. You know, it's
but also the World Cup is worse.
Games,
and if you're supporting the World Cup, stop.
My favorite thing to do when I watch soccer is to give it stupid sound effects. Is to be like, beep.
Oh, my favorite thing to do is change the channel to something good.
You don't have a soccer person in your life.
Fuck no.
I mean, Maradona is with us all.
Yeah. Yeah, Maradona's my soccer
Japan,
person.
Japan, what they should do is they should not do Tokyo, and instead, the people of Japan should learn karate from Anna Valenzuela on Zoom. That's probably the optimal way to learn karate in Japan.
Don't learn it from me. I am just good enough to be a little bit dangerous. Made a kid throw up the other day.
Plug. It's a good plug for the business, Anna.
Just enough to be dangerous.
Check out Anna's Average Karate. Yeah. .com.
Well, I'm humble. I can be very
average you'll puke.
So here's the real tea. I've been to tournaments where they didn't have enough women in my age group, so they put me in the men's division and I won.
Okay.
Sure. And then that guy hit you with his car on the way back.
Yeah. So I can fight.
Okay.
Yeah, you can fight for points.
I'm good at that stuff. It's mostly because I'm reckless. I don't give a shit if I get hit.
You know what? Speaking of soccer not being interesting, Adam, do you think people should die for soccer in other countries?
I do not, especially not if you're building cities in the desert to support the next World Cup using slave labor. Here's the thing about the Japanese public. They also think the Olympics should be canceled. So the people don't even want it. There have been polls. One of the problems, vaccination in Japan has been a very slow process. Mm-hmm. They're just over 5% so far, which is actually up from when I first researched this story. They were at something like 3%. Mm-hmm. Like, they're way at the bottom among the list of countries in terms of vaccination. Because here's the thing. They've been closed to foreign travelers since last year. And it's not that they've been handling COVID poorly. Like, they handled it fine. They just don't have the vaccination record of other countries. Mm-hmm. Because they haven't needed it as much, for one thing. Because they were able to get it under... Because it's Japan. When the government says something, they do it.
They're good at being isolationist. That's a thing.
Yeah. That was a whole thing for a very long time.
Yeah, they're pretty good at just like keeping it local.
Yeah. So. And now with most of the country not vaccinated, we're like, all right, let's send people from all over the world to compete in the Olympics. Like, even if you limit it to just like the athletes and family, that's still going to be a shit ton of people.
Yeah,
and flying into Japan.
It's terrifying, the population. And we don't know what the fall is going to look like COVID-wise. We don't. It's all good that we got vaccinated. And
you got vaccinated?
Yeah, I got vaccinated. Yeah. Oh, there was one time where I was at the pharmacy and they were like, do you want this random tetanus vaccine? I was like, give me any vaccine you have. I got like vaccinated for shit this year that I don't even know if I needed. I was just like, more vaccine, more magnetism, please.
Got a malaria vaccine? Wow.
You got to travel to Ethiopia to help out.
When I've traveled internationally, I've gotten the international travel like vaccine regimen too. So
yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah, you got it.
The bundle.
The bundle, because I don't want to bring, I don't want to bring, you know, LA diseases.
I got mine on eBay. You save like $15. It's great.
Yeah, but you pay for it in shipping.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was free shipping. The person was desperate. Oh, no. They had a second one. It was laying around. They paid money for it on accident. I don't know. So, yeah, don't travel to Japan.
No.
For the Olympics, please.
Don't travel to Japan for a while until they get more vaccine in their lives. Don't travel anywhere until everybody gets more vaccine in their lives. How about that?
And what's crazy is the White House still wants the games to go forward. Meanwhile, the CDC is still recommending against travel to Japan. So a lot of clear messaging coming from this administration.
Perf. Yeah, we're having a... It's over. Hey, you know what? In 5 days, I don't know if you know this, but in 5 days, it's over. The whole pandemic is over.
Oh, yeah. June 15th in California.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I traveled to the Midwest recently, and let me tell you, it's been over for a while in some places. I went to Wisconsin a couple weeks ago. It's like COVID didn't even happen. Like, it is... I got in the car, me and my girlfriend get in the back of my mom's car. We're wearing masks. Within 2 minutes, my sister turns to me and goes, are you going to wear those masks this whole time? It's like,
are you vaccinated?
Nah.
That's what I
would
say.
Yeah, we were all vaccinated.
Well, no, I would say everyone's... to her, I'd be like, well, are you vaccinated? Because I don't want to get you sick.
Well, yeah, that's why I went out there, of course. Like, I wouldn't go visit my family if we weren't all vaccinated. So I didn't have to ask that. It's just weird being in that kind of environment where people are already so far past COVID that they're like, yeah, fucking take it off.
I did a gig, a COVID safe gig in Fresno, and I got dirty looks filling up my tank up there.
Is there such a thing as a COVID safe gig?
Well, it was.
Yeah. Were the people in the audience vaccinated?
Mostly.
Did they prove it?
Was not, but we were all.
It's a lie.
Did they buy their vaccine cards from that bar in Central California that was selling them for $20?
There were no COVID safe shows.
Okay.
Which is fine. I get it. I get that we miss it, and I get that we have a bad addiction, but there were no such thing as COVID safe shows.
Listen, given if you're looking at some of these comics out here in these streets going hard, doing the occasional outdoor show, while it is a risk, I will not take shame for taking
We got to get there eventually, but I mean, a lot of people were like doing them in like November and they were like, it's safe. And it's like, fuck you, it's not safe.
I know a couple of those people who had COVID shortly thereafter.
Get out of town.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And I also know some people that, like, one of my senseis, she's originally from Brazil, and she has suffered so much COVID loss in her family and also contracted COVID not leaving her apartment. Like, she just happened to be in a big building in the middle of L.A.
A lot of good that karate did for her, huh?
Well, and we had to tell her because she'd be, like, recovering from COVID, and we'd be like, could you, like, do us a favor and, like, not teach today? Because, like, you can't breathe. And she'd be like, oh, I have to keep my lungs strong. I'm going to keep moving. And we're like, bitch, lay down.
Well, that makes a decent segue into our last story.
Segue?
Because meanwhile, in Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, who is a monster.
Yeah.
He is
professional piece of shit.
Terrible.
He is a huge piece of shit.
To give you context, throughout this pandemic, I log on to a class out of Brazil almost 5 days a week if I'm going every day. So it's like karate, kobudo, karate, kobudo, kobudo. So I'm doing like, so it's like karate weapons, et cetera, et cetera. And I have apologized twice for America just being shitty. Just been like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, oh, it's fine. You know, we have Bolsonaro.
They're worse.
He is, you know, no, Trump, Bolsonaro.
He is worse.
Yeah.
He's significantly worse. And the way he took power is fucking disgusting. And the government and a lot of the people of Brazil should be fucking ashamed. And now let's talk about COVID, which has been a fucking nightmare in Brazil because of Bolsonaro. He is a staunch COVID denialist.
He got it early on from hanging out with Trump and it was like COVID. Come here, baby. Let me talk to you. COVID-19. Let me talk to you, bitch. You could have taken out Bolsonaro, Trump, and a bad haircut from England. You could have taken out these motherfuckers.
COVID doesn't kill rich people.
And that's when I knew, when you didn't take out Boris Johnson, I knew you were an enemy of the people. You were an enemy of the people.
That's what took for COVID to be the enemy of the people.
Well, no, I mean, you know what I mean? Like on a bitch, you had one job,
it's kill these
sad almost dictators, kill these motherfuckers. And what did you do? You killed a bunch of poor people.
Had to kill the economy, too. Don't forget about that. Yeah, Brazil is in a third wave of COVID-19 that is currently at a rate of around 2,000 deaths per day.
Brazil is the
I think L.A. is hitting like one or two a day
right
at
now,
this point.
Yeah. And which is why we have never stopped training over Zoom.
Oh, do you train over Zoom?
Shut up.
Do you do karate over Zoom, Anna?
But what I'm saying, it's like an intimate thing. So it's like, I feel connected to this story because I've developed these friendships with people over the pandemic that have lost, like my sensei lost her dad and her aunt and like a cousin, and like people are just dropping, like the group, like the WhatsApp text for that karate group is like, sorry, can't train today. Someone died. It's like, it is fucking wild. And the bureaucracy around the death for them is also really traumatizing because like that country runs fucking wild. Like it is, we think the DMV is bad in this country. We think our IRS is bad. It is a fucking shit show over there.
So, but what is important to know is that soccer is good.
Soccer. Yeah. Because that's the point we're building to. In the midst of all this third COVID wave, 462,000 people dead, in Brazil from COVID. About a third of worldwide COVID-19 deaths have been in Latin America and the Caribbean, despite them only making up about 9% of the world's population. So, of course, in the midst of all that, Jair Bolsonaro has decided this is a good time to host the Copa America soccer tournament, which is going to bring people from all sorts of countries to Brazil to play the beautiful game. Why?
Because they haven't figured out how to do it over Skype or Zoom yet.
He's a denier, right?
Yeah. Here's my question, though. Everyone's mad at him for this. What about the people running this tournament?
What about everybody? Everybody that's letting this happen is bad.
What about UFC Island? Hello? Remember they were going to buy that island to have more fights? Remember that shit?
They did. Not for nothing, though, but that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you needed to do. The fucking
NBA bubble. Yeah.
Bubble. Worked great.
I think Fight Island is interesting because that was a very Enter the Dragon situation.
Yeah. I like that Fight Island thing was neat.
It was irresponsible.
A couple of fighters had COVID in their corners had COVID.
Yeah, that's why it's a bit irresponsible because I don't think they took all the proper precautions. And fight culture is stupid and filled with very stupid people.
Toxic the right idea.
Head injuries.
Yeah, it would be the right idea if smart people were running it.
Yeah,
it worked for the NBA.
No,
the NBA had no COVID cases in the bubble.
Well, perhaps all the NBA players were taking Alpha Brain or some supplement hawked on the internet.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe Rogan.
It is something to say about, though, and I know this is not the case in the situation, but I've never been around a culture more toxic than fight culture, boxing culture. When people are like, but you can't wait to get back to the boxing gym. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I waited until months after I was vaccinated before I even got close to a boxing gym because it's just such a toxic and ugly environment.
I went to one park karate class and a gentleman said to me that his certain type of people, which he happened to be ethnically, could not get COVID. And I'm like, no. I was like, put your mask back on and stay 6 feet away from me. And they were like, why are you being so cautious? And I said to them, this is what I said to them. I was like, because I've gotten athlete's feet from you. I don't want all the rest. You know what I mean? You get
people are disgusting and
people are gross. So I know, and we are into, it's like y'all are gross. I've trained with you for years. You're gross. And so I'm not,
are they gross?
They're
though?
So gross. And that's why I started training with this woman from Brazil because it was
do you train with a woman from Brazil?
I'm going to I'm going to fight you.
Soccer?
Soccer.
Is it soccer? Yeah, we're doing soccer or karate? Over
Skype.
Which one?
We're doing soccer over Skype.
They're doing the Karate America.
America.
Soccer is the karate of sports, obviously.
I'm just saying.
You use your feet.
You do use your feet. Have you guys seen Shaolin Soccer? Have you seen that?
No. And yes. I never will.
It's a great movie. It's very fun.
That also makes a great segue into my next point, which is soccer is dumb. Don't support it. I think that's an episode, right?
That's
We've been recording for nearly 2 hours.
Sorry,
we sure
guys.
Have. No, we're laughing. Happy birthday, Anna.
Oh, thank you.
We're laughing. Happy birthday, Anna.
Thank you. I am 800,000 years old in Hollywood years.
Hey, do we have anything to plug before we get out of here? Anna, how about you?
Oh my God, please listen to the 12 Questions Podcast. Listen to us. We are fabulous and fun and a delight. And Jeff's been on it. And we come out on Mondays and we are on the Unpops Network. Also, you can find me at Annie V's Phone on Twitter and Instagram, all the social medias, TikTok. I barely post on there. I should work on it. And then also AnnaBellAnzuela.com for COVID-safe show dates. Lots of Zoom shows and lots of outdoor situations that Jeff will judge, and it's fine.
I'm back in, and I was more talking about the old stuff.
Yeah.
Jeff, what do you have?
God, let's see. Whoa, I got fired from that. Jeff Has Cool Friends is available at patreon.com/JeffMay for the good early episodes. And if you want them edited, you can find them everywhere else. Don't forget to check out Tom and Jeff Watch Batman on the Gamefully Unemployed Podcast Network. And you don't even like sports. Sports podcast about how Anna doesn't like sports. That is available on the Unpops Network. I will be coming home sometime this summer and performing. So you can check that out. If you aren't vaccinated, I don't want you to come. You're not welcome at my show.
And by home, he means the Boston area?
Yes, New England.
Wow. All right.
I don't have anything to plug.
Adam's great.
You know where to find me. Patreon.com/unpops, unpopsnetwork.supercast.tech. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Anna, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Jeff, Say goodbye.
You get the Anna's Dead Mom rookie card, everybody. Jam in 10.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
We love you.
Bye.